Let us continue, move forth an exposition, a dissertation. Take out your document. Repeat after me, scripture distinctions. Actualization in eternity. For manifestation in time. Of course, this is in volume 2, and of course, we welcome those that are watching by way of and listening by way of our webcasts, and go to our website there, both the audio and video sectors. You'll find where you can just click on the icon and the message there, and this entire document comes up for your viewing. And it's going to be necessary to really follow us as we move along here at the Grace Gospel Church. Everything that we preach and teach is in writing. This is the directive God gave us when we started the ministry. And amen, it is so very, 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 amen, beneficial to be able to have these documentations, amen, as the Word of God is alive and is vibrant. Amen. In our document, let's turn to page 7. And then this morning, there's one more little nugget we need to pull out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. And we shall end up in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Deacon Gavin is our designated reader. So very important to understand, and of course this is volume 2, volume 1, we spent some almost 5 years on this, and so why don't we painstakingly go through this? Amen. Someone asked me in the conference to do the illustrations of the zooming out from in, and of course what that does is that puts everything in perspective. That is an eternal perspective. That's really the only perspective. Eternal. Anything that is not eternal is not in the form of actuality. If it's moving in time, and amen, and it is a manifestation, it is there for a period, and as soon as that manifestation somehow is brought to its fruition, then there is no need anymore for that to operate in that venue. Right. And this is why everything in time comes and goes. Mm-hmm. Somebody was talking about, you know, the weather, and said, well, you know, you got to get through this and for it to go. It's got to come so it can go. And the same thing with our problems.
Come on.
They come, but they go, don't they? They don't stick around. So, well, this thing has been bugging me a long time. Well, what is a long time? I mean, even time itself is not a long time. time itself, in comparison to eternity, is but a drop of water, a drop in the ocean. In comparison, you take a teaspoon of water and drop it in the Atlantic or Pacific Ocean. I'm just kind of giving a vague description there, and it's just like that. It's quick. It's not less lasting. So when we start to focus in on things that are lasting, it is always in the eternal sphere. Anything that abides is in the eternal sphere. Most of us live in the macrocosm. In other words, our little world and our little surroundings and what we're going through is all there is in the world. Amen. When it is only a specter of the whole spectrum of what God has in His Word brought into existence. And we must always understand that we are in the most favorable position as sons of God, heirs of God. Y'all don't hear me this morning. Heirs of that which belongs to Christ. And void of Him, we're nothing. In Him, we're everything. Void of Him, we have nothing. In Him, we have everything.
Amen.
But we must look into the advanced revelations that are in the Scriptures. This is why we keep hammering the point. You must divide this Bible according to dispensations and covenants. Get to the meat of the essence of who you are and where you are.
Yes, yes, yes.
It is found in the mystery writings. That which was hid from generations, now having been revealed to God's servant, the Apostle Paul. For the grace church in the grace dispensation. This is where the action is. In that 18th verse, a conclusive statement is made. That is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. A conclusive statement is made. A tunnel vision statement is made.
That's right.
Which prioritizes where the focus should be.
Right.
Beyond the earth. Beyond the solar system. Beyond the Milky Way. That is the galaxy that we're in. Which is a group of stars. Beyond the universe. Beyond physicality. Into the spiritual world where things are because God said it. And that's where everything is. And that's the only way things exist. And this is why the focus is pointed. Read that 18th verse. Everybody got 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 18. Amen?
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 18.
Mm-hmm.
King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen.
Why?
For the things which are seen are temporal,
mm-hmm.
but the things which are not seen are eternal.
All right, let's go to the Greek.
Now from the interlinear Greek text, 2 Corinthians 4:18. Not considering us the things being seen, but the things not being seen.
No, not prioritizing. That's what he means. Not putting the seen before the unseen.
Amen.
Not assessing the seen over the unseen.
Not,
not defining things by what we see. Read.
For the things being seen.
Because the thing that is seen.
Temporary.
What is temporary?
Not long.
Not long. It comes and then it goes. If it's real, it would stick around, wouldn't it? I mean, in the sense of a thing abiding. That's the realness of a thing, the actuality of a thing. It's there. It's going to be there. It, quote, ain't going nowhere. But if it comes and it goes, was it really ever there? The essence of life is not focused in our physical surroundings. On a prioritized basis. How can it be with everything moving and changing? Whether you consider it good or bad, don't worry, it's going to change.
Amen. Amen. Come on. Glory to God.
It's not going to stay there. If it's in the realm of physicality, the scene. Physicality, everybody repeat up. Physicality is temporality.
Is temporality. Absolutely.
All right.
But the things not being seen, eternal.
Things not being seen. The things not physically. Before us. So what are you talking about, Pastor? We said unseen, and we said spiritual. Are we talking about something, some clouds or something? No, that's physical. We talking about something mystical or magical? No, that's physical. That's why we don't use that word supernatural around here. Soup something up, you made it more potent. And then you add natural to that, so what we're doing is we're souping up the natural. We're souping up the... the spiritual, the essence of spirituality... It's the actuality of things in existence based solely upon God having spoken it, having decreed it as eternal objects. Everybody say eternal objects. And of course, we use that word object advisedly. For the want of another term. But the spiritual essence. That which is ontologized or brought into being or existence is the saying of God. So that makes God's word everything, doesn't it?
Yes.
Not just God's word is not something like we think of things. God's word is what is. Out of his word, it isn't.
Yes.
And so these are the things that we must comprehend. Now we for a long time, maybe another year or so, year and a half, I don't know how long. I'm not going to worry about it. We are going to go through this second volume, Scripture Distinctions of Actualization in Eternity. That's where life is. Versus manifestation in time, which is simply a testimony of where life is. Most of us look at God and we envision God in some, I mean unintentionally, some physical form. Some physical format. Some physical image. And this is why God, in the even the Old Testament, he told Israel, he said, don't go there.
Don't.
Don't insult me. by limiting me to something that I have made. So that you're looking at the thing created and substituting it for the Creator. Y'all don't hear me this morning. There's a difference. When we say God, it ought to mean something. When we pray to Him, it ought to mean something. Our security, our salvation. Well, many of us don't really realize and understand what salvation is. They say, well, to be saved. Well, saved from what? Delivered. Delivered from what? What does that mean if I still walk by sight and I think that I'm hanging on by a thread or that I'm out here in the universe almost on my own? And things happen, you know, and and it can be really scary if you really begin to zoom in and zoom out. Amen. There's a long way between in the body of Christ and being a spectacle on a spectacle. What do you mean? When you get to earth, it's only a little speck. And we are only a little speck on the earth. How much of the earth do we occupy? In comparison to the size of the earth, how big is your spot? How big is your problem? We're not alone. We're rescued from the standpoint that in eternity He placed us in Him. Your salvation is about your eternal relationship with God. That's your safety. That's your security. That's your staying power. And the situations and the things that we're going through for ages, humans have gone through them. And you look back a few centuries, or even a couple of millennia, what was going on at that time for those that lived at that time, it was ultra important to them. Some of them, it was all that was going on. And yet, if you were to focus in another era and look at the situations and problems that they faced at that time, which meant everything to them, and I'm not saying our problems aren't about anything. I'm saying, amen, as the scripture conveys to us, that He who is in us is what? He's greater than anything. How many times have I been called to convey to some who were going through problems? So God is bigger than that. They said, but you don't know that God is bigger than that. Whatever. God is bigger than that. He's greater than that. And life is more and greater than the greatest interlude of confrontation that you find yourselves involved in.
Lord, amen. Yes, Lord Jesus.
Your life is but a as it relates to on earth.
That's it.
And so as we look at this page 7, repeat after me. Purpose of realizing, divergent significations, that is the different of the diverse significance of the emphasis. Even if you call that thing important, you've got to separate what you're talking about to get to its impact. divergent significations of eternality. Everybody say, of eternality. From temporality. Say, Pastor, you got all these words in here. Now you just please stop and listen. You have to get this because there's something out there waiting to beat you up. To make you have the worst day that you think you've ever had in your life. To just completely discourage you. Mm-hmm. Disarm you. Take your joy. And our refuge is God's word. We don't need to run to some meeting where somebody's calling some smoke down from the ceiling. Fire. Some mystical incantation of drawing you out of the problem through mysticism. Through illusions. Illusion is nothing but a lie. We want to deal in actuality.
Amen.
That whatever is there, it is there for purpose. And so it's all about us focusing on the eternal perspective. Everybody say eternal perspective. Now when we understand that, last week we're going to reprise a few things here. We're going into Hebrews chapter 1, chapter 11, rather, verse 1, 2, 3. Everybody turn there right quickly. Yep, I'm reprising a few things this morning. And then as I've said to the ministers as you're teaching, don't be shy about going over things. Now, Pastor used to say, teaching is 90% repetition. Because it might be the 19th time you've gone over that the Lord brings it to someone's comprehension and understanding. And say, oh, I see. I've heard that before, but I never. And the scripture tells us we must give the what? The mercy what? That we've already heard. Why? Because it in the time, it gets away from us. No, it gets away from us. This is why we over and over and over again say, oh my gosh, why are we going to Hebrews? I've been there about 45 times. Well, we need to go there another 45,000 more times.
I hear you. That's right. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. Amen.
Because it's something about the human makeup, the thing just go right by us. You pick it up one day, and the next day is nowhere to be found.
Thank you, Lord.
Verse 1, and I'm not going to go through all of this. I'm not going to be too long before you today. How about that? Talks about faith and substance. Faith is substance. Now, that doesn't mean anything too much in physicality. In physicality, substance is something I can see, touch, taste, physically handle. Substance is physicality. And faith and and physicality are strange bedfellows. They don't mix. They war against each other. You don't need faith for the seen. You're not really exercising faith when you see your way through or feel your way through. Faith is about believing what God has said. And so we always refer to it as imparted faith, a gifted faith, a bestowed faith, which means it's not inherent. It's something that God has to supply for the sake of you receiving his communication. Then it talks about evidence. And of course, Here the visuals are always dependent upon the most. In a courtroom, there is no stronger evidence than direct eyewitness. Even with all the DNA and all of that, what clinches it is that if 15 people say, "We saw it," but what never brought into light is that if you took those people and you actually nailed them down, you may come up with 15 different renditions of what they saw. So the scene is not that reliable. So here, if you look into the essence of that first verse and you go back, amen, and draw back on the 10th verse where here he was writing to believing Jews who had the background of having been in previously in the Mosaic covenant, amen, of things that were conveyed mostly through sight. Of which in the first verse of the first chapter of Hebrews, it says that this is the way God dealt with them. In verse 2, he says, no, he doesn't deal with us that way. It's about speaking and communicating, and you receive a more sure word of comprehension. Oh, give the God a praise this morning. Talking to someone, and of course I've mentioned this several times, I'm mentioning it again. They came to me wanting me to help them decide what they were going to do. So wait a minute, hold it. Let's rearrange this thing. We've got the cart trying to pull a horse. It's not about what you're going to do. Let's turn it around. It's about what God has done, because what God has done and what God has decreed and what God has predetermined, my friend, that's your destiny as to what you are going to manifestly do.
I hear you.
Yeah. Amen. Thank God.
Pastor, that sounds so weird. Don't we have free will? Well, then if you have free will, why are you afraid of fate?
Glory.
That's that unknown entity out there that has its own perspective, its own, you know. Well, that's just fate and so forth. So, oh my God. That's because we are looking in physicality at the difference between us as a specter and a speck on earth and God in the essence of who he is. It's a big gap there, right? That's not what we are. Where are you? You're a member of the body of Christ. You are in him. So far in the seen, but so near in the unseen. Oh my God. Hallelujah.
Oh yes.
This is why we look to the the unseen. The eternal relation of having been some position in him before, everybody say before. Creation. These manifestations. Our problem is, we don't know who we are.
Hallelujah.
And then it speaks about the elders having, quote, obtained a good report. And this is why I was speaking to the youth this morning. Why do we spend so much time in exegesis? You're not about to explain something until you know what you're explaining. Wrong utterance, automatically wrong explication. So we go through the process of exegesis in order to make sure that we have the right utterance.
Yes.
Now we're ready to explain.
Amen.
Because we're explaining what it says versus what they say it says. Mm-hmm. Are the translators.
Mm-hmm.
Our conventional wisdom,
yes,
as they call it.
Yes. Yes.
Even orthodox Christendom. Now, God is able, and He has caused His word to prevail over all the ignorance, all the mix-ups and mess-ups. Everything that we can do to kill it is alive, because the word of God is living and it's from Him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actualized,
mm-hmm,
in the heavens,
yes,
in Christ. And this is why we focus on what is actual. Brother Deacon, read that third verse. Everybody turn to Hebrews 11:3. We were there last week, and we're back again. Read that.
Hebrews 11:3, King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God.
You notice each one of those verses, as it moved out of chapter 10 into chapter 11, faith. Verse 2, faith. Verse 3, faith.
Yes.
God's reliable communicated mode to His beloved.
Right. Right.
That was a demonstration in the Old Testament.
Oh, thank God.
First occasion around them, children of Israel were thirsty. And He told Moses to do what? Strike the rock. Hit the rock.
Mm-hmm.
But the next time He told him to do what?
Speak.
Speak the rock. Most of us don't understand communication like that. I can't speak to the iron. I got to strike the iron. Why it's hot. Go out, and I gotta do something.
Bring it out.
In other words, our actions are the catalyst of what happens. Do you know whatever is to be manifested has to come out of the, we'll see in a minute, has to come out of the same.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Your tomorrow is already here, your next day. Your next week. And it's so hard, because we go through things in life and we think that they have just jumped up out of nowhere and basically have a mind of their own. You know, fate is like a runaway train. It has its own agenda. And it's not concerned about you and no one else. It does what it wants to do. And this is the thinking. But that's not how life operates and functions. Read that, Brother Deacon. When Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3.
Through faith,
mm-hmm,
we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
All right, let's go to the Greek.
Now, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3.
Just follow if you don't have the Greek interlinear. Just follow.
Mm-hmm.
Those that are watching, just follow.
Greek interlinear text. By faith, we understand to have been adjusted the ages.
He went off the chart. Now let's stop. And the pastor doing this, all this exegesis and getting tone and these things and so forth. Is it worth knowing what's actually there? Even if it strains the brain a little bit, is it worth knowing what's actually there? I'm going to focus on one Greek word there. Actually, two. One is katatese. And when you say kata in the Greek, it means what?
According to.
Then the second part of this word is tiste, which is a derivative of the same word that is in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Except it's estis there. Which is translated, created. If you don't have to be a Greek scholar, and I'm not saying I'm a Greek scholar either, by the way. That word is in what, Brother Deacon? Get your lexicons out. And if any of you have any, get it out. And the pastor used to always say, check me out. Mm-hmm. Don't just, because I say it. What is that in, Brother Deacon?
Perfect tense.
What's the perfect tense?
Complete
your action with continuing results. And when we say continuous, we're not speaking in the sense of something that happens until it is interrupted. We're speaking of something that is uninterruptible. And a good way to place that, to phrase that, is it was and is. Mm-hmm. 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 It is because it was. Kata, according to. And then when we speak of creation in this sense, we're saying was and is. The next word is rhemata, which actually is translated saying. When we say word in the Greek, we always say logos. It means saying. It literally means saying. Follow me now. So what this conveys is that by faith, through faith, we understand that creation was and is according to a saying. That Greek word there, rhemata, give me the number on that.
Single.
It's singular. One saying. Now, that doesn't make sense to us because we think of everything being sequenced.
Mm-hmm.
There is no sequence in eternity. Everything just is. Follow this now. So the creation of the ages was and is by saying. Everything that's happening is foundation, its origin is was and is according to a saying. But it is by faith that we understand that. That's what he said. And so out of, finish that up, Brother Deacon. Did you get that? Did you get that? It comes from God saying. God has said it. God has decreed it. The so-called worst experience that you ever had, God decreed it. So, no. Where did that originate? In the devil? Now we got the devil creating things. If the devil could create what was placed on Job, do you think he would have consulted with the Lord? And without God's permission,
that's right.
He's just like us.
That's right.
He can do nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing moves, even if a leaf falls to the ground and no man sees it. Doesn't matter. And if a habit of a tree falls in the forest, it still makes a sound, doesn't it? Through God's process, it makes a sound. Why did it make a sound? Nobody heard it. Had nothing to do with who heard it or didn't hear it. Who saw it or didn't see it. That was not the purpose. Well, what was the purpose? According to God's will and what pleased him. And none of it is dependent upon what we see, hear, know, comprehend. Oh, God help us to know that we're just participants in the sense of being receptors. We are not components or catalysts of causality.
Amen.
We don't cause anything. You don't do A and then B happens. Oh, it looks that way because... And that's why sometimes when we do something, we say, nothing happened. Last time I did it, and it... What's God trying to tell us? It's not about us. Everybody says it's not about us. How much of it is not about us? None of it. It's tough to see because here we're down here and all of these things, some of them are messing with us. And that's from occurrences in our lives all the way to conditions in our bodies.
Amen.
Who ordered it?
God.
For purpose. Everybody said for purpose. Now when you teach that, they're going to come after us. Well, they're going to come after us, Brother Deacon. Let them come through the word. Come to these scriptures that tell us basically he worketh what? All things. Not some things.
No.
How is he able to work it? Because he is the originator of it. And it's speaking in manifestation because in actualization it's already done.
Already.
The problem is solved before it starts. We have the solution before we have the initiation of the situation. In him. And oh, if we learn to live that way, then life is not going to beat you up so bad. And you won't be walking around talking about, what is this? What is that? What is it for? What's God's purpose
Hallelujah.
In bringing this on the scene?
Right.
Not what am I going to do with this, but what God has already done with this. Oh, give him a praise this morning. So the purpose of this whole exercise is to get your eyes and your focus off of you and on God. It is He. He in you that worketh all things out. According to what? His purpose. His good pleasure. You notice in Ephesians, everything that God did, it was to please Himself. Of course, there wasn't anybody else around to please. It is to please Himself. But He completed everything in one saying. So there's no debating down here in time, because whatever it is, God has already actualized it in eternity. So our prayers are not so much about convincing God to do something. Helping God to make up His mind. Whether I go left or whether I go right, it's already done. Which way you are to go, you've already gone. It just hasn't manifested yet. And these are the things we've got to understand. And so it says, out of what?
Out of the ages, out of or by a word of God, so as not out of things appearing.
Not out of things appearing.
The thing being seen to have become.
Well, see, that to be have come, that's in the present tense there. That's the root word that's esti. Is. It is. And it is because what?
It was.
It was. In decree of what God has said. So, we're going to be moving on in the coming weeks into a section there that's called relativism. Everybody say relativism. That's how things relate. Our problem is we relate everything to ourselves. And actually, nothing relates to you and or me. Everything, everything is subject to and relates to God. It's not about what we're doing. It's about what God has already done. And what we do, amen, is only the revelation, a manifestation for purpose of what God has already done. Why do you think we keep our head in the book, or we should? To know what's going on. But this word has just conveyed to us that thing that's appearing is not coming out of what is seen. It's coming out of its origin, which is the same. And this is why we have the aphorism around here. Repeat up to me. It's not about what we see. It's about what God has said. And to get that, to know what it is and everything, go to the Word of God. God has need for it. God has purpose for it. In the Old Testament, not in the Old Testament, in the Kingdom Gospel, ones that had, well, even in the Old Testament also, but those that had leprosy, God had purpose for it. Person get counsel, God has purpose for it. Ooh, pastor.
Amen.
You know, sometimes we act like the something happens, and maybe the devil has pulled something on the Lord. I mean, it's a given he's pulled something on us, but then we think he has pulled a fast one on the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hammer.
And we get caught out here in these tantrums of what am I going to do?
Amen.
How am I going to make it?
Amen.
And then at the same time, I'm looking at it and say, I can't make it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we're all tied up into knots.
Mm-hmm.
Not even looking at God has purpose for this. Let's look at this document. Give me about 10 minutes and I'm going to bail out. Let's look at the second paragraph, which is down near the third line from the bottom of the second paragraph on page 7, everyone. Where it says, purely in the physical sphere. You see that? Purely in the physical sphere. Total humanism reliance teaches principles of self-reliance. Such values hard work. Nothing wrong with that in the sense that that's not what you ultimately depend upon. And encourages individuals to look at their own resources first. And we got this thing completely backwards. Then to their community. And lastly, to spiritual dependency. And that's the way we do it. For those fallen on hard times, this medium focuses on networks of practical help. And, amen, like I said, we certainly have empty for those in the Philippines and other parts who have experienced the devastating floods from the typhoon and other things. But We look beyond that. We look beyond some situation that is on the planet. And we see a God who planned and who enabled that situation for his purpose. And our problem is we're looking at the situation and we're stuck in time. Yeah. We prioritize time. God prioritizes eternity. Yeah. Eternity is where that thing is solved.
Yes,
sometimes we see things solved on earth, but amen, hallelujah, it's ultimately solved in eternity. Everything that is right, everything is in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
All the wrong has been made right. All the crooked has been made straight.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're able to go back into the prophets with that understanding.
Mm-hmm.
To know that it's not on earth. Because there are going to be more floods.
Mm-hmm.
And earthquakes. And tsunamis and and whatever else. The depraved creation that He subjected it to. But just remember this.
Yeah.
It tells us it's subjected in hope. But there's only one hope.
Yeah.
Our hope is an eternal hope.
Amen.
For those following a hard time, this medium focuses on networks of practical help while emphasizing the dignity of work and preserving an individual's self-initiative. For those fortunate enough to circumvent, get around life crisis, it proffers opportunity for categorically elaborate extravagance. In essence, this is the question. What role does faith play in the discrepancy of the physical scene, physically seen? What do you need it for? You need it to know that what you are seeing, you can't rely upon it. Even that thing seems right and that thing seems lovely. Don't you depend upon it.
Mm-hmm.
Because of one word, stop with a C, change. So what role does it play in the discrepancy of the physical scene rather than the sphere of spiritually unseen? 2 Corinthians 4:18 that we dealt with. Eternity solely accommodates placement and is sustained without eternal substance. Everything was initialized and actualized in the extent of God's eternal purpose, which abides beyond any help, support, or even other persuasions that would be worthwhile in browsing or linking such. God's enablement. That sums it up above anything that's out there. Because all the help, all our help must come from Him. Juxtaposition, that means to compare. So comparing, or the comparison of these spheres, that is physical and spiritual. That is eternal and temporary. It communicates where? In the divergent significations of eternality over temporality. Where we look at life in its completed form. What is the completed form of life? Everything is in Christ. And so where are we going with this? All of these many, many hours that we have spent and we will continue to spend in relationship to conveying these truths. What is it that we should glean? That we would benefit from? That would make all of this worthwhile, having gone through. What is there about life that having this knowledge puts us on the victorious road? There's a song we sang, I think I might have heard it this morning, Higher Ground. It says, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying and I'm onward bound. Lord, do what? Plant my feet on higher ground. The last stanza of that is, I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. What is the higher ground? Higher ground is the eternal perspective. The higher ground is being above physicality, being above the situations of life, dwelling above the plane of the trouble that plagues me, of the condition that attacks my body, of the fear that grips my mind. The course says, Lord, lift me up and let me stand. By faith, can you say by faith? Can you say by faith? On heaven's table, Lord, on heaven's plane. Can you say on heaven's plane? Can you say on heaven's plane? Than what I see now, than what I'm in now. Through faith, we understand a higher plane, a higher plane. Lord, take me from the burdens of temporality to the joy of eternality. God bless you.